In the book of John, in chapter 7, reading from verse 1, titling the message this evening, Jesus' Unbelieving Brothers, and still continuing just a few of the character studies. And our text is really verse 5, where it says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him," but let's begin reading in verse 1. It said, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Verse 10, But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he?" Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight your blessings upon the reading of thy precious word. And Lord, again, as we come here and consider this subject tonight in this text, we pray for thy guidance and thy help and thy leading. And Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. According to the Apostle John, here in our text, the Lord's brothers believed not on him. Now, as we read through the New Testament, we find that after his resurrection and ascension, we're told in Acts 1:14 that they are believers. And we'll go there and read that a little bit later on. But what is interesting as we come here to this passage is that how could they live for 30 years with their elder brother, the Lord Jesus, and not know him? In Matthew 13:57, the Lord Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house." So he was without honor in his own house. And I think we see this here in the text and a few other passages. Now, these are half-brothers, blood brothers, and I say that for a reason. They're sons of Joseph and Mary, closest relatives that you can have. And that's important for our study this evening. Now, Mary and Joseph, they knew that Jesus was the Lord. And at an early age of 12, and obviously the other siblings would have seen this, in Luke 2:42-47, even the rabbis were astonished at the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. Now in John 7, the scene here is the Feast of Tabernacles. We see this in verse 2. It said, "Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand." Then as we look down into chapter, in verse 37, it said, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So the scene here in chapter 7 is the Feast of Tabernacles. And there's about 6 months time between the closing of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7. The reason we know that is that in chapter 6, in verse 4, it said, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." And there's 6 months between the Passover in the spring and the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. So by the time we come between chapter 6 and chapter 7, we have about 6 months here. And this is only 6 months from the cross when he would die, which would be another Passover in the spring. Now notice in verse 1, I just want to kind of camp out here in this text for a few moments. Notice he says in verse 1, And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Galilee was in the northern section. And he says, for he would not walk in Jewry. That means Judea or Jerusalem, the south. And it says, because the Jews sought to kill him. So here we find, coming into chapter 7, about 6 months before the crucifixion, before that Jesus would actually triumphantly ride into Jerusalem on the donkey in Luke 19 and Matthew 21, about 6 months before that, we find him going into Galilee. And he's there with his disciples, and he's probably spent time here, according to some of the other Gospels, of teaching privately to his apostles, knowing what they would go through as well during the crucifixion and afterwards. So we find here, notice as we come back, he says in verse 1, and after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, where he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Verse 2, now the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So we find here that Jesus did not at this time go to Jerusalem publicly, openly. We've seen that in verses 10 and 9, 10, and 11. But he does go to Jerusalem at this time secretly. And we see why as we read this text, because it's not his hour, it's not his time to be made public in a sense, to be arrested and to be put on trial and then to be put to death. And so, when we come to verse 2, it says, and now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That's like a Thanksgiving time, a Thanksgiving service. It was a fall feast between the latter part of September, early part of our October. It lasted 8 days. It was one of the three feasts where the Jews actually traveled to Jerusalem, so there would be a crowd in Jerusalem at this time, and the Lord's brothers knew this, and they're trying to get him to go up. And so this was an eight-day feast to commemorate the sojournings of the wilderness that Israel went through, and also the fall harvest, kind of commemorated all of that. It is called the Feast of Ingathering. It is an annual celebration. It's one of the feasts, the seven feasts of Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 16, but it was one of the three that they traveled to Jerusalem. They celebrated this in Jerusalem. They built booths, or could I say tiny houses. See, tiny houses is nothing new. And we hear a lot about tiny houses today, but they built booths or tiny houses made of branches, commemorate, again, their dwelling in tents in the wilderness and God's provision for them. So this was an eight-day celebration. So there'd be a lot of people in Jerusalem. Now notice as we come to verse 3. In verse 3, his brethren. Now, I believe that this is his brothers. His brethren, his brothers. And one of the reasons I believe this is because of verse 5 and other passages. Because in Matthew 13:55, his brethren, his brothers, and also Mark 3:35, I believe it is, tells us that he had brothers and sisters. We'll read some of those in a few moments. Matter of fact, four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and then he had sisters. These are brothers and sisters of Joseph and Mary. Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 through 56. We'll read some of those later. But notice what's going on here as we come to verse 3. Now keep in mind, he's in Galilee. He's in a secluded area. He's not in Jerusalem where all the people are at and the feast going on. And in verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. And then it says in verse 4, well, there are no man that doeth anything in secret. So he's evidently teaching his disciples. He's in secret, at least to some extent. It's not his time to be arrested. He would not do that on the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the end of the Jewish religious calendar year, but he would be doing this at the Passover. He's the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. Verse 4 says, and for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. And then they said, if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And then we find, John gives us an interpretation of, brethren says in verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Why would they be trying to get him go to Jerusalem? Now this is a little bit of speculation. But his brothers are telling him to go to Jerusalem so others can see who he is and what he's doing. Now they don't believe in him. They have an interest, I guess, because he's their brother. And they know he's got followings. They also know that in chapter 6 and verse 66, it says, from that time, many disciples went back and walked no more with him. So they know that his followers are diminishing. And so his brothers are saying, go where the crowds are at. Notice, if you want to be known, if you want to be seen, I'm assuming they're thinking this in their mind, if you want a following and increase your following, go show yourself to the world. And in other words, go to Jerusalem, this feast time where there's thousands of people there to celebrate this feast. In other words, make yourself public. Don't stay here in Galilee in the secret, you know, maybe with your disciples, but go where people can see you, where you can perform your work. In other words, they're saying, seize the opportunity. Let yourself be known. And maybe they're looking out for him as big brother, and they're thinking about this. In other words, if you want to advance your cause, go to where the people are at. Let the world see your works. And I think that's what they're saying here. The brothers felt like many of the Jews about Jesus. They might have thought of him as a teacher, someone different, but they did not trust him or believe on him as the Messiah. His brothers were in this situation. In other words, they did not necessarily deny his work, but they failed to believe in him. They failed to receive him as the promised Messiah. Joseph and Mary knew who he was. The brothers do not. Maybe they wanted to see him succeed in popularity, because he was their brother, half-brother. In the latter part of verse 4, they say, if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. They may be even saying here, if you're who you claim to be, go do this publicly and prove your claim. But whatever the motive was for them wanting him to go publicly to the feast and perform his works, we find that in verse 5 that they did not believe in him. Now notice in verse 5, it says here, for neither did his brethren believe in him. I'm going to tell you why it's important we realize that this is his blood brothers, half brothers. I'll show you why that's important in just a moment. So in verse 5, they did not believe. John gives us the interpretation. They did not understand who he was. They were a part. We're going to see that they were a part of the world in verse 6 and 7. And they were lost. They might have been interested in the Lord, especially as their brother and what he was doing, but they were lost. Now notice in verse 6. He says here in verse 6, he said, then Jesus said unto them, that is his brethren, his brothers, My time is not yet, but your time is always ready. Now, when he says that my time is not yet, in other words, the full manifestation of himself to the world, which would bring about his death, the crucifixion. In other words, it's not time for this. It's not time for me to go to the feast publicly or openly and be made known and possibly be arrested, which that did happen 6 months after this at the Passover. And when he says your time in verse 6, but your time is always ready, in other words, you can go to the feast openly and publicly, but he went secretly, verses 10 through 13. He did not go with them, he went after them, but he did not go there as he did 6 months later at the Passover. As a matter of fact, I'm not asking you to turn there, but in Luke 19, 6 months later at the Passover, the Bible says in verse 19, Luke 19:36, and it says, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had done. And it says in verse 38, saying, blessed be the Lord that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King, rather, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So when he literally made himself known publicly 6 months after this, I mean, they're lining the streets, palm branches and different things, and they're praising him. There's those who believed and did praise him. So now notice with me, well, by the way, when he says in verse 6, he says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. In other words, his time, his hour to be made known publicly, his hour to ride in Jerusalem, his hour to be arrested, be put on trial, his hour to go to the cross. As a matter of fact, in verse, you'll notice with me in verse 8, in verse 8 it says, go ye up unto the feast, I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. And then you remember there's passages like in John 8:20, he says, for my hour has not come, the time for him to go to the cross and die. And in John 12, verse 23 through 27, right before we begin reading in chapter 13, the upper room, the night before the crucifixion, he says in John 12, my hour has come. Now, notice as we come here to verse 7. In verse 7, he says, the world cannot hate you, speaking to his brothers. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So, as we look into the scripture, as in John 16, verses 7 through 11, even when the Lord said the Comforter, when he came, he came to convict the world. That's part of the Spirit's ministry. Convict of the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, he speaks of that the world being evil. And the world here is not the trees and plants and so forth, but it's referring to that evil system that's headed up by Satan and is in rebellion against God himself. Well, what is interesting is that he says in verse 7, the world cannot hate you. In other words, the world hated Christ, and the world hates Christ's people. But he says that the world cannot hate you. Why? For they're still a part of the world. His unbelieving brothers at this time, before the resurrection, before the ascension, his unbelieving brothers, they are a part. All who are lost are a part of this world. And they love this world, and the world loves them. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example of that. Notice with me in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. All who are lost are part of the world, and they love the world, and the world loves them. We find in verse 18 of this chapter, this is the upper room, the night before the crucifixion. And he said, beginning in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were all the world would love his own. You know how they congregate together. You got to do is look at people's friends and see where they stand. And he said, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore if the world hateth you, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So it's very clear. The world hated our Savior. The world hates the saints. And he says back in chapter 7 and verse 7, and he said this, he said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. We who believe as Christ, we stand against the world, we speak against its wickedness, and the world does not love us. And so he's saying to his disciples, he's saying the world hateth him, but his brothers, he's saying to them, they were still a part of the world. So Christ's words and Christ's works testify against the world. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, and notice here, beginning in verse 18. Beginning in verse 18. Now, I'm going to read from here to the end of the chapter. And this is centered around the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I'm coming to this is why this is important. We're talking about Jesus' brother. In Roman Catholicism, there's the teaching of the doctrine of perpetual virginity of Mary. And it is a doctrine that Mary remained a virgin throughout her life. It's not taught in the first 300 years of church history. It became known, you know, later. This was held in the 6th century and made a dogma in the 7th century in 649 under Pope Martin I. And here's a quote. And it says, Mary gave birth in miraculous fashion without any opening of her womb and injury to her body and without pain. What they say and teach is that these are not really Jesus' flesh and blood brothers or half-brothers and sisters. They say that they're his cousins. The problem with that is in Luke chapter 1:36, Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. It uses the word cousins as a different English word and also a different Greek word. And we find that as we read through the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus had a mother and he had brothers and sisters. Now notice in Matthew chapter 1, first of all, and we find here beginning in verse 18, and what I want you to notice that as we read through this passage, we see here again that the mother of Jesus had other children after that Jesus was born. And in verse 18, as we read through it, you're going to find that it speaks of the fact that before they came together, Joseph and Mary, which means they did come together at some point, you're going to find the word till they came together, verse 25, until, let me just read through it and make comments on it. He said in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, the Holy Virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, verse 25, and knew her not till, there's that word, knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now in verse 25, the word till here, till and knew her not. The word knew is sexual relations in the Bible, Genesis 4:1 and Genesis 19, verses 5 through 8. And so, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. So we see here the firstborn, not her only born, as in Luke 2, verse 7. Look at it again. Notice in Matthew 12. In Matthew chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 25 to, Matthew 12, verse 46 through 50. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. By the way, in John 2:12, there's a statement there that speaks of his mother, his brethren, and his disciples. So when we see this word brethren, it can refer to other Christians, but it also many times can refer to someone's siblings, and the context will let us know which it is. Now it says here in Matthew 12:46, and while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak unto him, speak with him. Verse 47, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren, again, this is his sibling, stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So you see what he's doing in this passage? Jesus had brothers and sisters, for he distinguished between blood brothers and brothers of faith. He distinguished between the two. And the brothers of faith in this case were his disciples. They were his disciples. And if the brethren in verse 46 is not a literal brother, blood brother, well, neither is the word mother literal either in the passage. Again, verse 49, his disciples were not his siblings, but they're called his brother and sister and so forth. Now notice in Matthew chapter 13, in Matthew chapter 13, and by the way, there is a messianic psalm, and as you read through it, it's a mixture of truth about David and also the Messiah. But in Psalm 69 verses 8 through 10, it prophesied that Jesus would be alien to his mother's children. It's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaks of his mother's children. Alright? So, here's what I'm saying. The Lord Jesus, he had enemies within his house. Or he had those who disagreed with him, did not believe in him. And in Matthew 10, verse 34 through 39, the Bible speaks of, in our own family, they'd be foes, they'd reject us, they would reject the truth. And Joseph of the Old Testament and David of the Old Testament, both of them were despised by their brothers for their faith in the Lord and His Word. So the Lord went through this, and many throughout the centuries have went through this, having opposition in their own house. So the Lord Himself can have compassion toward us if we experience these things as well. Notice in Matthew chapter 13, then we're going to go to the book of Acts. Matthew chapter 13, Let me read one verse first, and then we'll back up and read several. Notice with me in verse 57, "And they were offended in him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor." Now, I just mentioned this a while ago. "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his" what? "Own house." So he's saying that he wasn't even honored as the Messiah, or as a prophet, in his own house, that is, by his own siblings. Now notice again, in verse, I'm coming to verse 40. Let me back up here in just a moment, and coming down to verse 53. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." He had brothers and sisters as well as he had a mother. Turn with me to the book of Acts and notice here. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1. I want to pick a reading up in verse 9 through verse 14. Verse 14 is the text that I'm really looking for. And just to go ahead and cut this just a little short, let me give you a few other passages. We're going to find that we're going to find in our text the Lord's brothers, the Lord's brethren are in the upper room. We find also James, his brother, his half-brother, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 17. And this is not James, one of the 12 apostles, because he was killed in verse 2 of that chapter. And this James, there's about three or four James in the New Testament. And this James, I believe, would be his half-brother. And you find in Acts 12 and verse 17 that James is very important. He's singled out by Peter when Peter was released from prison. And he says, go and tell James. See, the apostle James, one of the 12, just died in prison. You'll also find in Galatians 1:19 that the Lord's brother, James, was an apostle. In James 2:9 and verse 12, he's called a pillar in the church. And I believe that this is the James that wrote the book of James in James chapter 1 and verse 1 and called himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And James is called by historians James the Just because of his integrity, his fairness, and his righteousness. And he's also called James of Jerusalem by historians because of his place of ministry. And one last passage on James, 1 Corinthians 15:7, and the whole context is dealing with the resurrection and 500 people seeing the Lord and the apostles. But it says in verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then the apostles. And like I say, if you take the context of that passage, it's dealing with the resurrection. And also Jude, the book of Jude. And he says in Jude 1, he said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So I believe that these two half-brothers, they became believers after the resurrection. And they give us two books in the Bible, and James became a leader in the church. I didn't mention this, but in Acts 15, verse 13 through 21, he became a leader in the church. Remember where they had the first council meeting in Jerusalem? Peter stands up and speaks, and then Paul speaks, and then James speaks. He is a leader in the church, as we would see also in Galatians 1 and 2 I just mentioned. So let's read in our text now and bring this to a close. What I want you to see is that the Lord's brothers are numbered with His disciples and other believers after the resurrection and ascension. And I want you to notice as we read this, they were in one accord and in prayer and supplication. That means they believe. Notice beginning in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they unto the Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey, verse 13 and 14 now. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So they were unbelievers at one time, and evidently after the resurrection, I mean, how would you not believe in that and being in Jerusalem and experiencing all that and seeing all of that? They became believers, and we have two books of the New Testament given to us by two of his half-brothers, and one of them became a leader in the church at Jerusalem. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank Thee for this time this evening, and we pray Your guidance and blessings upon the remaining of the service, the singing, and Lord, the prayer request, and as we have another closing in prayer. We just pray, Lord, Thy presence to be with us. We pray, Lord, for the truth that You've given us, Your Word. Help us to always rightly divide the truth, to seek the truth. And Lord, we truly need Thy guidance and help as we look into these things. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.